Hi everyone, today's Parak of Rambam is the fourth Parak of Hilchos Eruvin. In this Parak, the Rambam will continue discussing what exactly defines one chatzar versus two chatzar. When do you have people who are considered distinct entities in a chatzar, and when they're considered to be one joint family? Halacha Aleph. Anshei chatzar shehayu kulam ochlim al shochan echad. If you have members of this courtyard who all eat in one table. Now that doesn't mean that they all share the same food even. It just means that they all share one large dining hall, like in a bungalow or in a kibbutz or the like. Aval pi shekol echad v'echad yesh lo bayis b'pnei atzmo. Even though each one of these people has their own home. Ein tzrich an eruv. In this case, they don't require to be joined together with an eruv, mipnei shehein k'anshei bayis echad, because they're viewed as people of one house. U'kashem she'ein ishto she'adam u'bnei beiso v'abadav osur n'lav, just as a person's wife or his kids or his servants don't cause him to be unable to carry to his courtyard, v'einu tzarech la'ariv imahen, he doesn't need to make an eruv with them. Kach elu k'anshei bayis echad hein. These people too are like one household, mipnei shehein kulan somchen al shochan echad, since they all share the same table. And similarly, if the people, as just described, need to make an eruv with another courtyard, a nearby courtyard, eruv echad lekulan, they can go ahead and make simply one eruv for all of them, upas echas vad molichen lo, so makom shem arben imel. And they only have to bring one loaf of bread on behalf of their shared courtyard to join with that other courtyard. And if the eruv is coming to be by them, then they don't have to contribute at all. Just as when we saw in previous prakim, the home, which is going to have the eruv placed in it, doesn't have to contribute any bread to it. She'enon tzarech litein as a pas, just as that one doesn't need to give any bread, so too they do. She'kol elu habatim kibayis echad hein chashuvin. Because again, all these different people in their different homes all count as one joint household. Halacha gimel. V'chein anshei chatzar she'irvu, and similarly, if you have a courtyard where the people already did make an eruv, nasu kulan kibayis echad. So then at that stage, they already count now as a single household. Im hutzrichu l'arivim chatzar shnia, and if they have to join now with a second courtyard, kikar echad belvad hu shemolichin aydei kulan lemakom sharben bel. So then they only have to contribute one loaf of bread on behalf of all of them to the place where they are bringing the eruv to. Im haya eruv ba'etzlan, and if the eruv will be placed by them, ein hutzrichin litein pas. Similarly, as we saw beforehand, since they count as the house jointly, now the house where the bread will be placed, so then they don't have to contribute towards it. Halacha dalet. Chamisha shagabu as eruv lehulichu lemakum shemenichin bo ha'eruv. If five people collect from one courtyard, they collect all the bread that they would need to bring to another courtyard where they want to create an eruv with them. Kesheheim molichin einan tzrichin leholich ayidei chamisha asan. They don't need to bring on behalf of them five, each their own piece of bread that they're bringing to that other courtyard. At the kikar achas, they can bring just one. Shekeven shegabu kulan nasuk anshei bayis echad. Since in the process of collecting, they all did it together, that joins them as if they were all one household, and therefore they only need to bring one piece of bread on behalf of all of them. Halacha hei. Ha'avu b'no v'ara v'talmido shehein shruya b'chatzar. If you have a father and a son, or a Rebbe and his Talmud that are together in one courtyard, einan tzrichin la'ariv, then they don't need to make an eruv, mipnei shehein kibayis echad, because they're viewed as being one household. V'afal pi shepamim ochlin al shochan echad, v'pamim einan ochlin, and even though sometimes they eat together, sometimes they don't, harei hein kibayis echad. Nonetheless, they're defined as one household. Halacha vav. If you have brothers who each have their own house in the courtyard and don't rely on their father's table, and similarly, by women or servants that don't rely on their husband or respectively their master's table constantly. Sometimes they eat from him, but sometimes they eat from their own. And sometimes they're eating because of the work that they've done or for some favor that they've done that he's going to give them for a certain amount of time, just as one would be visiting by his friend for a week or a month. If there's nobody else living in the courtyard aside from these people and the husband or the father or the master respectively, so then they don't need to create an eruv. And if their courtyard decides they want to join with another nearby courtyard, so they only need to bring one eruv on behalf of all of them. And if similarly the eruv were to be placed by them, then they don't have to contribute, just as the household, which doesn't have to contribute when they have the bread by them. However, were there to be other people beside for these brothers/wives/servants in that courtyard, In that case, tzrichin pas l'chol echad v'echad, kishar anshei achatzar. In that case, they each do need to contribute a loaf, just as the rest of the people in the chatzar do. B'nei she'enen somchan al shochan echad tamid, since they're not all relying on that same table all the time. Halacha zayin. Chamesh chaburos sheshavsu b'traklan echad. If you have five groups of people that are all spending Shabbos in one larger palace, im haya mafsik bein ko chabur v'chabur mechitza hamagas l'tikra, if separating each one of those groups is a wall which goes all the way up to the ceiling, hari ko chabur mehen ki iluhi b'cheder b'fnei atzma, o ba'aliya b'fnei atzma, lefikach tzrichin pas m'ko chabur. So then in that case, when the wall does go all the way up to the ceiling, each one of them counts as divided from the other one, they're as if they're their own room, their own home, their own attic, or the like, and therefore each one needs to contribute to an eruv of one loaf of bread. Im eina machitos magios l'tikra. However, if the walls don't reach all the way up to the roof, kikar echad l'kulan, then they only need to give one loaf of bread on behalf of all of them, shekulan ka'anshei bayis echad chashuvin, because in this case they're all considered to be part of one household. Halacha ches. Mi sheyesh lo b'chatzar chavero beis shar, sherabim darshan bo, o achsadra, o merpeses, o beis habakar, o beis ateven, o beis ha'etzim, o otzer. If somebody has in his friend's courtyard either some sort of guardhouse which people pass by all the time, or one or another type of porch, or a place where he keeps his animals, or his straw, or wood, or some other storage, so in this case, hareza eino osra alav. In this case, the person who has this location within his friend's courtyard doesn't make his friend unable to carry in that place. Ad shielo imo b'chatzer makom dira. He'll only make it forbidden for his friend if he has a place where he can live. Shehu somech alav lecha bo pita. That's the place where he relies on to eat. V'achar kach ye osra alav ad shiar yivimo. And then in that case, he would forbid his friend until he goes and creates an eruv. Av makom lina eino osra. But even a place where you would sleep, let alone these storage places, that's not going to forbid your friend from carrying in his courtyard. Lefikach im kavalo makom lecho bebayis shar o bachsadr and peses eino osra alav lefish eino makom dira. And therefore, if a person does set a spot where he's going to eat in that gatehouse or the various types of porches, so then he's not going to forbid his friend because that's still not a place where one dwells. So to reiterate, from this halacha we see that if one person has a chatzar and another person has some place in that chatzar which he uses in some way, shape, or form, but it's not considered a place where one can live, and b, a place which he relies on in order to eat, so then it's not the type of thing which will forbid the owner of that courtyard from being able to use his courtyard like normal. Halachatas. Asara batim zelifnim izeh. If there's 10 homes, one further in than the next one, in other words, in order to get to home number 10, the furthest in, you'd have to pass through 1 and 2, etc., all the way through the first 9 homes to get to number 10. So, in such a scenario, habayis hapanimi v'asheni lo heim shenos them esayir. So the most inward one and the one right next to it, the number 9 one, so those both have to contribute towards the Erev. Vashmona batim achitzonim, the 8 outer houses, though, eino nosim es Erev. They don't contribute to the Erev. Hol v'rabim darsepen, since a populace passes through them, as we'll see clarified in a moment. Harehin gebeis shar, v'hadar bebeis shar, eino oser. Because then those first 8 are considered, in a sense, to be a gatehouse for the last 2. And therefore, somebody who lives in a beis shar is not going to make the chatzar be forbidden to the other people who live around the chatzar. Avalachi ein dorsin bo rabim. However, number 9, there's no populace that passes through it. Eliyachid, only number 10, only one person passes through him. Lefikach oser achi tin irvo. Therefore, he will forbid the others until he contributes to the eruv as well. The point is, nobody passes through number 10's house, and only one person passes through number 9's house, so both of them are considered like standard residents. Halacha yod. Shtei chatzeros benan shlosha batim psuchim zelizeh. If you have 2 courtyards on opposite ends, and there's 3 homes which are between them, which open one to another, upsuchen lachatzeros, and they also have an entrance into the chatzeros, so you could pass from one chatzer through the homes into the other chatzer. Neviu bnei chatzer zu eruvan derech ha'bayis ha'pesuach lehen v'nichu b'bayis ha'emtzai. And then both of the people who want to contribute to the eruv from one courtyard and from the other courtyard come and bring their eruv through the homes and leave it in that middle house. And similarly, the people from the other courtyard do the same thing. They bring it through the homes into the middle one and leave it in the middle one. So all 3 inhabitants of those 3 middle houses don't need to contribute to the bread. The middle one, well, that's because he's the place where the Erev has been placed. And the homes on either side of it, as each one of them is considered to be living in a gatehouse for the respective anshei chatzar on either side, and therefore, as people that are living only in a beis shar, they don't contribute to the eruv. Halacha Yud Aleph. Shtei chatzeros u'shnei batim psuchen zelezeh. If you have two chatzeros, a very similar case, and two homes in between them, not three this time, that open one for the other one, v'heviu elu eruvan derech habayis ha'pesuach lehen, v'enichu b'bayis ha'sheni ha'samach l'chatzer acheres, and the people from one chatzer bring it through the first home and place it in the second home, v'heviu elu eruvan derech ha'pesach ha'samach lehen, v'enichu b'bayis acher, and the people in the other chatzer carry theirs through the first home on their side and leave it in the second home. So, in other words, you have chatzer A, home 1, home 2, chatzer B. So the people in chatzer B bring it through home 2 and place it in chatzer in home 1. And the people from chatzer A bring it through home 1 and place it in home 2. So in that case, shtehen lo kavu erev. Neither of them, in this case, have properly established an erev. Shekol echad mehen heniach eruv bayis shar shel chatzer acheres. Because in this case, since home 1 is like the base shar to chatzer A, so when the people in chatzer B place it in home 1, it's as if they placed it in the base shar. We saw in the first parak that if you place the Erev in the chatzer's base shar, so then that's not going to be an effective placement of the Erev. And in this case, they both, so to speak, placed it in a gatehouse. Halacha Yud Beis. Echad mimnei chatzer shehayo goseis, afal pi she'enu yachol lechios bo bayom, harei ze oser al bnei chatzer, ad sheyizaku lo bepas ve'arvu alav. Somebody who, unfortunately, is deathly ill, and to the point where we don't think he's going to survive that day, nonetheless, if he lives in a chatzer, he can still forbid the other people in the chatzer from being able to use their courtyard until he contributes. Obviously, he might not be in a place where he's able to contribute, but where somebody on his behalf can contribute bread and thereby create an erev. V'chein katan, afal pi she'eino yachol le'echol kezayis. Similarly, if you have a minor who, even though he might not even be able to eat a kezayis' worth of bread, hari ze oser aji arvu alav. So he too can forbid the other members of the courtyard from using their courtyard until they create an erev with him. However, somebody who's merely a guest, as we've already seen earlier, cannot forbid the people in the courtyard from using their courtyard. Halacha Yud Gimel. Echad mimnei chatzer shenichol beiso v'halach v'shapas b'chatzer acheres, afilu ha'isa smucha l'chatzero. If one member of the courtyard leaves his home and he's spending Shabbos in some other courtyard, even if it might be near his courtyard, im hisia milibo v'ein daito lachzor l'beiso v'shabbos. If he's fully removed himself, his mind is not to return back to his place on Shabbos, harei ze eino oser alehin. So then he's not going to forbid their use of the courtyard even if he doesn't participate in an erev. V'medar mamurim b'yisrael. When is this true? If the person is Jewish. Abu Obiko Chavim, Afilu Halach Lishbos Beir Acheres, Osir Alehen, Ad Shiskru Menu Mekomo, Shari Efshar Shevo B'Shabbos. However, if it's a non-Jew who had gone out from the courtyard and spent his Shabbos elsewhere, even in another city, he still forbids the people remaining back in the original courtyard because of the fact that he can always come on Shabbos, he can always travel, and you don't know that he's not going to be coming back. So you have to do the process that we saw in earlier prakim, where you rent out his space from him. Halacha Yud Dalet. Bala chatzer shehisker mibatei chatzer la'acherim, v'niach lo kelim o meinas chor b'chol b'ayis u'b'ayis mehen, einan osarin alehen, ho'a v'yesh lo tvisas yad b'chol b'ayis. Halacha Yud Dalet. Bala chatzer shehisker mibatei chatzer la'acherim, v'niach lo kelim o meinas chor b'chol b'ayis u'b'ayis mehen. If there's somebody who owns a courtyard, and he has numerous houses around the courtyard, and he rents out those homes to other people, if he's left some of his own personal items there, or various wares he intends to sell in each and every house, so in that case, ain't an osur and a love. So then they do not forbid him from being able to use the courtyard. So then in that circumstance, since he still has, in English, the better word is, rather than a handhold, he has a foothold in each one of those homes, so then it's as if they are all guests by him. When is that true? That's if he left something which cannot be moved on Shabbos, such as untithed produce or pieces of metal. However, if all he had remained in each one of those homes was a vessel of his that can be moved, since it's possible that they can always take it out that day, and then he won't have anything remaining holding him back to this house, so then in that circumstance, these tenants will make it forbidden for him to use his courtyard like normal until he makes an erev with them. If the people in a courtyard had forgotten to make an erev, then what do they do? They cannot carry out from their homes into the courtyard, nor from the courtyard into their homes. However, Avon Metalflin Hain Kalim Shushavsu Bechatr, Bechol Achatr, Bechol Nechshav Emachatr. However, as we saw in the earlier Prakim, if things were left out in the courtyard, they are allowed to move those throughout the courtyard, as long as they don't bring it to their home, and also with other places which count as the courtyard. And if there's some sort of porch or upper floor where the people would normally joined together, but in this case, the people in the chatzar had joined together as one Erev, and the people in the upper area had joined together in their own Erev. The people in the upper area are allowed to use the upper area as well as anything in the courtyard which counts as the upper area's space, and they can bring from that space into their homes and out from their homes into that space. And the people in the courtyard are able to carry from their homes into the courtyard and any part which counts as designated for them. And in a similar type of scenario, if you have one person living in the lower floor and one person living in the upper floor, and they forgot and didn't make an Erev, so in that case, so then the one who's related to the area which is related to the upper part is allowed to use that fully and carry from his home into that area. And similarly, the one who's living on the lower part can carry into the courtyard and back into his home, each one of them respectively using the part which is relevant to them. The Rambam will make this clearer now. If there is a rock or a big mound or the like which is in the courtyard, if it's not 10 tefachim tall, so that's considered to be both used by the people in the chatzar as well as the people in the upper area, and both of them in that case are forbidden to bring out things from their home into the mound or whatever it might be over there. However, if it is 10 tefachim tall, and this mound, this rock, was less than 4 tefachim away from the upper area, so then they're considered only fit for use for the people in the upper area, because they're equal to it. And therefore, the people in the upper area are able to use this area and them alone. But if this mound, this rock, was further, even though it's 10 tefachim tall, but it was further than 4 tefachim away from the upper area, even though it's 10 tefachim tall, then they still count as part of the courtyard, as well as the merpeset, since both the people in the courtyard, as well as the people in the merpeset, are able to use it if they do some sort of process of throwing. Therefore, in such a case, then both the people in the courtyard as well as the people in the upper area are not able to use it until they make an error. If there was a platform which was 4 tefachim wide right in front of the merpeset, well then, in that case, this has divided the people from the upper area, from the people in the courtyard, and therefore the people in the courtyard are not forbidden to use the courtyard because of the people in the merpeset, because there's this platform blocking the people in the merpeset from the rest of the courtyard. So therefore, the people in the lower area, the people who live in the courtyard, are able to use the whole courtyard in that case without an error. There are these protrusions which stick out from the walls. Anything which is less than 10 tefachim from the ground, that counts as part of the courtyard. Then their people in the courtyard are able to use it. And anything which is in the top 10 tefachim, which is close to the upper floor, then the people in the upper area are able to use it. However, the stuff that in between 10 above the ground and 10 close to the upper area, anything that might be in between that, all that space and these protrusions would stick out, so then they're both forbidden to use it. The aim is Thompson Behen, the Kalim should bottom, and you can use them with the items that you might have in the house, L M K and Airpo, unless the people in the upper area and the lower area made an air. If there's this cistern, this pit inside of a courtyard, if it's filled with produce that has been untied, which it's forbidden to move on Shabbos, as we saw earlier, so if that's the case, so then it and its surrounding ridge is like a rock or a mound in the courtyard. And therefore, if it's 10 tefachim tall and it's close to the upper area, just like that tail, or that sela, as we saw above, if it's 10 tefachim tall, and it is within four tefachim from the upper area, so then it counts as part of the upper area, and only they can use it, even without an eruv with the lower people. However, if it was filled with water, however, if it was filled with water, then neither the people in the courtyard nor the people up in the upper area are able to use it at all, because since they can both technically use it still, so then it's forbidden unless they have created an eruv together.
If there's two courtyards, one further in than the other one, and
therefore the people in the more inward one will need to pass through the outer one in order to get to the Rosh Hashanah or the like. If the inner one created an eruv for themselves and the outer one did not, so the inner one is allowed to use their courtyard and the outer one is not. They don't have an eruv. If only the outer one had made their own personal eruv and the inner one had not, so in that case, both are not allowed to use their courtyards. The inner one, well, because they didn't make an eruv. And as for the outer one, because of these people who didn't make an eruv who will be passing through them. As we'll see in Halacha Chaf Gimel, once somebody who is not allowed to carry in their own domain, didn't make an eruv in their own domain, is able to pass through an area which does have an eruv, that's going to ruin the eruv. If you have a case where each one of them made their own individual eruv, so so then each one of them is allowed to carry in their own, but they can't carry from one courtyard into the next one. If one of the people in the outer courtyard had forgotten and not contributed towards his eruv, the inner people are still able to use their inner courtyard. If one of the people on the inside had forgotten and hadn't joined to their eruv, so then the outer one is also forbidden. Because of these people on the inside, since their eruv didn't work, and they will be passing through them. This is just a natural extension of the previous halacha. If the two courtyards, the inner and the outer one, made one joint eruv, if they left it in the outer one, and one of the people had forgotten, and he did not contribute to the eruv, whether or not he was one of the people from the outer courtyard or from the inner courtyard, both courtyards are forbidden to be used, until this fellow who had forgotten to contribute to the eruv nullifies his domain to them. And that is allowed, as the Rambam has already explained, since you could be mevatel your rishus, you can nullify your rishus even from a different courtyard to another courtyard. However, if the eruv wasn't left in the outer one, but it was placed somewhere on the inner one, then one of the people from the outer courtyard had forgotten to contribute, and he didn't participate. The outer one is forbidden to be used by the people in the outer one, but the inner one is allowed to be used by the people in the inner one. However, if when it was placed on the inside again, one of the people from the inside had forgotten to contribute to the eruv, so then both courtyards are forbidden to be used by everyone until that fellow who had forgotten nullifies his domain to the others. If there's only one person living in one courtyard and the other one also has only one person, they don't need to make an eruv between them. Each one of them can individually use his own courtyard. However, if on the more inward one it was a non-Jew and the outward one was a Jew, even though it's only one person, he still qualifies as a public, and therefore, since he's going to be passing through the outer one, if he wants to use his own courtyard, must rent out the rights from the non-Jew. If you have three different courtyards, each one opening into the next, and there's numerous people living in each one of them, if the two outer ones make an eruv with the inner one, the middle one and its people are allowed to carry in all three of the chatzeros, and the outer two are each able to use the middle one aside from their own. However, the two outer ones on either side are not allowed to use each other until all three of them make one eruv. If each one of these three courtyards, though, only had one person living there, even the one that's most outward, the one that leads to the Rosh Hashanah, even though you have a public which passes through it, the people from respectively each of the other two courtyards, you don't need to make an eruv here, since each one of them is allowed to use his own area. However, if there's two people in the inward most one, since they are forbidden to use their own courtyard until they make an eruv, they therefore forbid the people
the one person who lives on the middle one and the one person who lives on the outer one, ad she'aravu shnayim shepanimet, until the most inward ones make their own eruv together. And now here's the important rule, which has shed light on the halachas beforehand and afterwards. Zeh klal, this is the overall rule, regel hasur b'mkoma oseres shelo b'mkoma, a foot which is forbidden to use its own area will then make forbidden something which is not its own area, such as the inwardmost ones in this case and the outer areas. The regel hamuteres b'mkoma, however, a foot which is permitted in its own place, ein oseres shelo b'mkoma, it does not create a prohibition for the people not in its place, mipnei shoveres aleihen, just because it passes through them. Halacha chaf dalet. Halacha chaf dalet. Shtei ketzot trios, zu lemala mizu. If you have two balconies, one higher than the other one, shein lemala min amayim, and both of them are above water, afal pi she'asta kol achas mehen mechitza gevoah asar tefachim, yoredes mikol achas v'achas. Even though each one of these balconies has made a 10 tefach wall going down from it in order to enable them to use the water on its own, em hayu shtei haketzot trios, besoch asar tefachim. If these two balconies are within 10 tefachim of distance from another, hare ilu asurin lemalos, ad shervu shtein erev echad, v'nei shehen ketzot tra achas. Then, if they are within 10 tefachim of each other, they are forbidden to fill up water from the water until they join together with an eruv, because they are viewed as one balcony. However, if the distance between them is more than 10 tefachim, and each one of them made their own respective eruv, then they're both allowed to fill up respectively. If the upper one hadn't made a wall which will permit it to go and collect the water, and the lower one did, even the lower one is not allowed to fill up, then, since, in line with what we saw in Halacha Chaf Gimel, since the people in the upper one will technically pass through it, their bucket is not allowed to be lowered down, and they would pass by the lower one as they would do so, so then they forbid the lower one from using it as well. If the upper one had made a wall and the lower one did not, how yonim uteres the malos v'atachtona asura. So then, in that case, the upper one, similar again, what we saw in Halacha Chaf Gimel, the upper one is allowed to fill up, but the lower one cannot. However, if the people in the lower one had contributed, they paid for half of the wall which was from the upper peoples, then it's forbidden for both of them to fill up until they make one erev. Halacha chaf vav. Shalosh diatos zu lemala mizu. If you have three stories of a building, each one higher than the next, el yona v'tachtona shel echad, v'emtas shel echad, if the bottom one and the top one belong to one person, and the middle one belongs to a different person, lo yishal shel mel yona l'tachtona derech emtas. A person is not allowed to lower from the top one down to the bottom one by passing through the middle one. Because we don't allow you to lower something from one domain to another domain by passing through somebody else's domain. However, he could lower it down. Let's say he had a balcony on the top one and on the bottom one, so he could lower it down from the top one down to his bottom balcony as long as it doesn't pass through the middle domain. Halacha chaf zayin, the final halacha in the parak. Shtei diatos zu keneged zu. If you have two buildings, one opposite the other one, v'chatzar achas tachtehen, and you have a shared courtyard between them, sheshovchen l'tocha amayim, that's where they dump their waste, their water, lo yishpachu l'tocha ad she'arvu shtein erev echad. They're not allowed to pour until they combine with an erev. Asu miktsatsan uka v'chatzar l'shpoch b'hamayim, miktsatsan lo asu. If the people in one of these buildings had made a pit where they dumped their water into in the courtyard, and the others had not, Elusha Asu, those that had made this pit, Shokhin La'uka Shalahan, they're allowed to pour into their pit. Felusha Lo'asu, and those who did not make a specified pit for this, Lo'yish Pechula Chatzar Achirav, they can't dump it into the courtyard until they make an Erev. Ve'imasu Elu'uka Ve'elu'uka, and if each one of them had made their own respective pit to dump into, Kol Achaz Mishtehen Shofechas La'uka Shalahan. So then each one of them is allowed to pour into their own respective pit, Afal Pi Shalo Erevu, even though they hadn't made an Erev. Since each one of these areas is clearly designated for them in the Chatzar, it's not like they each have the rights to it. That concludes this parak. Shavua Tov to everyone.